Hello, Vista Baptist Church, as well as all those who are tuning in again to hear the Word of God read and taught. It is my hope and my prayer during this season that videos like this can help you and your family study God's Word together, that it can provide you with some content, some material to ponder and meditate on in this time of confusion, in this time of anxiety, in this time of fear, that it would help you to orient your life, to ground your life, to ground your thinking, as well as your feelings, in the awesome majesty of our Almighty God who reigns in the heavens. Last Wednesday, I continued in the book of Psalms, and we studied Psalm 95 together. In this video, we're going to study Psalm 96. So if you have a Bible, if you have a copy of God's Word, I ask that you would turn to Psalm 96 so that we can study it together. And as you turn to the Psalm, I'm going to ask that God would bless our time in His Word, that it would be beneficial, and that He would illuminate its meaning to both our minds and our hearts. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to You as weak and needy people. We come to You as people who need Your help. And God, as I seek to teach Your Word to Your people, that You would speak through Your Word to them, that You would make its meaning very clear to both their minds and their hearts, and that God, their entire being and their entire identity and their entire hope would be rooted and grounded in Your Son, Jesus Christ. May He be made much of in every video, in every teaching that comes from me during this time. And I pray, Lord, that You would use this to make Your gospel known, to edify Your people, and to draw those who don't know You to everlasting salvation in Your Son. God, we pray this in Your Son's name. Amen. So if you would, look at your Bible with me and follow along in Psalm 96. The Word of the Lord says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Bless His name. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar, and all that fills it. Let the field exult, and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for He comes. For He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in His faithfulness." May God bless the reading and hearing of His Word. The big idea of this psalm is very similar to the psalm that we studied last week. Last week it was "Praise Yahweh." This week, in order to make it slightly different, but to communicate the same truth, I want the big idea for you to recognize in this time and in this text is worship Yahweh. Worship Yahweh. And in this psalm, in four different movements, we see ways in which we can worship Yahweh that would be pleasing to Him. And number one is worship Yahweh by declaring His salvation. Worship Yahweh by declaring His salvation. Read verses 1 through 3 again with me. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all peoples. Watcher of this video, whether you be a member of Vista Baptist Church, whether it be a whole family who's listening, the faith of the Scriptures, the faith once for all delivered to the saints, was never meant to be merely a personal or private affair. It is a faith that, though it is inward and personal, always overflows into public declaration and adoration. The psalmist calls upon those who would have heard this initially, as well as us, to sing to the Lord, to sing to Him a new song. This idea of a new song, it calls upon the imagery of salvation, to sing a God, or sing a song of God's salvation. It is used in Revelation to speak of the worthiness of Jesus Christ, of how He is worthy to open the scroll, how He is worthy to save His people. We are to sing of God's marvelous salvation. And one way in which we are to do that is to do it amongst each other when we gather together, especially on the Lord's Day, but also during prayer meeting. And what this text imprints upon my own mind and my own heart, and what it brings to mind during this time, is how God, in His mysterious providence, has made it to where meeting with each other would be unwise and even harmful to our neighbor. So it makes me miss those times in which we can gather, in which we can declare the glorious salvation of our God in Jesus Christ, in which we can tell each other in the songs that we sing, the hymns that we sing, in the scriptures that we read, in the prayers that we pray together. It makes me miss those times. And I hope that you miss them too. I hope that during this time, God would put on you an earnest desire to gather with the church family who you have covenanted together with in membership. That you would be eager to be able to remind face to face your fellow saints of the salvation that we share in Jesus Christ. That you would be able to sing together. But in the meantime, sing to the Lord in your homes. If you have children, sing to the Lord with them. Sing to the Lord with your spouse. Sing to the Lord with those who you can contact, come in contact with. Praise His name. And know that my family and me will likewise be singing the song of God's glorious salvation. But not only are we to declare the salvation of the Lord to each other, to proclaim it in the congregation, He also calls upon us to declare it and declare God's glory and His marvelous works among the nations. Even in the Old Testament, we see that God has an unfolding plan in which not only will ethnic Israel experience and hear of the good news of God's glorious salvation, but that even the nations, even the Gentiles, even the peoples they too are to hear of this glorious good news. And if this isn't a calling or a call upon us to speak to those who don't know Christ, who don't know the glorious salvation that God has brought forth in Him, that we should tell them about Him. Not only by way of example should we communicate the hope and the steadfast assurance that we have in Christ, but also in the words that we speak, let us be sure to point people to God, to point people to God and His salvation. Let us call upon them to embrace it and to be saved. So number one, worship the Lord by declaring His salvation. Number two, worship Yahweh by acknowledging His worth. Read verses 4-6 with me. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. God is great and worthy of worship. All the idols that men have manufactured, whether they be the literal idols of stone or those immaterial idols that sit upon the throne of our hearts that we make in our hearts, they pale in comparison to the true God. It is tempting in our time to place our trust, to place our hope, to place our assurance in those things which are not worthy of it. The government is not God, nor are medical physicians. Yahweh is God, and He alone. Good government, as well as good medical care and good physicians, these are gifts of God's common grace to His creatures created in His image. But let us not confuse the gifts for the one who has given them. For just as easily as God could give the gift, He also has the prerogative to take it away. So during this time, where we've lost many of the things that we are used to having, let us go to the one and true God, the one who has revealed Himself in the Scriptures, and the culmination of that revelation being His Son, Jesus Christ, in whom we have hope and eternal life. Let us come to Him. Let us understand that He is worthy. Because the idols that we make in our hearts, or the idols that have been fashioned throughout history by various peoples, they cannot ultimately save. They cannot deliver the soul from death. They cannot grant eternal life. They cannot give joy everlasting. But we who have placed our hope in Jesus, whom God the Father sent, who is God the Son incarnate, who walked in the power of God the Holy Spirit, in perfect righteousness to God's law, in perfect obedience to the mission that was given to Him, that He should die in the place of His people, who rose victoriously, demonstrating for us that He accomplished it, that He made the payment of a debt that He did not Himself incur. Our debt, our sin. It is the God of the Bible who alone is great, who alone is worthy, who alone can rightly be described as God. It is Him that we should worship. So worship God or Yahweh, by declaring his salvation, and worship Yahweh by acknowledging his worth. Thirdly, worship Yahweh by recognizing his attributes. Worship Yahweh by recognizing his attributes. Look at verse 7. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Glory, strength, holiness. These are ways in which God describes himself. God is all powerful. He is in the heavens and does whatever he pleases. He is the God who has created all things out of nothing and upholds all things by his own power and his providence. He is holy, meaning he is perfect in every moral way conceivable. And not only that, he is also transcendent above all things. There are none who are like him. He is set apart. He is glorious. There is a weightiness in which the human being experiences when they contemplate the great things of God. And as this God who is so majestic and so holy, and so glorious, we and all the nations should tremble before him. We should bring an offering of praise. We should give our lives, our bodies, as a living sacrifice to his purposes. We should worship him, understanding who he is. And the way in which we understand who he is by encountering him, or rather by him meeting us in and through his holy inspired word, as it draws our minds' attentions and our hearts' affection to him in and through his Son Jesus Christ by the power of his Spirit. We worship a God who is like no other. We worship the true, living, holy, and all-powerful God. And I don't know about you, but I know to me in this time that I've said over and over again is strange. We've never been through things like this, at least in our lifetimes. It gives me great comfort to know that the God whom I have believed in has not at one point been caught off guard by this situation, who has not at one point relinquished his control. He is sovereign and he is all powerful. And it is on him that I have placed my hope in this difficult time. And may you do likewise and call others to do the same. The fourth and final point is this. Worship Yahweh by proclaiming his reign. Worship Yahweh by proclaiming his reign. Read verses 10 through 13 with me. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes. For he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. What we read in Scripture over and over and over again is that Yahweh reigns over all of his creation. He reigns over it completely. And what we read here is that Yahweh who reigns is also the judge. He will judge all peoples. He will judge all people with equity and with righteousness. And this to the rebel, to the blasphemer of God, is a terrifying thing. And it should be. It should be frightening. Indeed, to all of us by nature who are fallen sinners, there should be an element of fear when hearing that God is judge. And yet the psalmist calls upon the nations to be glad and rejoice in God. He calls upon the sea and all that's in it, the earth and everything that dwells in it, or the field and everything that is within it. He even mentions that the trees will sing for joy. So it is not a requirement to be terrified in judgment, because the same God who judges saves. And it should be our desire, the desire of every Christian, it's certainly mine, that those who are now currently in rebellion against God would come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would hope in Him, that they would rest in Him, that they would be glad in Him. One of the reasons in which we go to unreached people groups and call upon them to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, it's because, one, we know that that is their only hope, and two, we desire to glorify God, but three, we want them to sing for joy to the Lord as we sing for joy to the Lord. We want them to join in the joyous chorus of the heavens and of the saints. We want them to acknowledge and delight in the reign of God, in and through God's Son, Jesus Christ. So I call upon you. I call upon you, if you've not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, to trust in Him, to place your faith in Him for salvation. You can't save yourself. Nothing can save you from paying the penalty of your sins. But God's Son, Jesus Christ, He alone can save you. So trust in Him. And Christian, I call upon you to be glad in the salvation that you have in Jesus Christ, to take comfort in it during this time, and to tell others about it, to proclaim it. And let us not grow weary or lazy or dishonest and not tell people about the fact that God reigns, and that the God who reigns is a judge who judges in perfect equity, who judges in His perfect righteousness, who judges faithfully. And we can know this, that those who have not been declared righteous in God's Son, Jesus Christ, will bear the brunt of the punishment and condemnation that they deserve. And we can also trust that those who place their faith in the perfect righteousness of God's Son, Jesus, who have cleaved and rested in Him for everlasting salvation, we can take comfort in the fact that God is faithful, and that the judgment that we deserve, Christ Himself bore in our stead, and the righteousness that He earned has been transferred to our account. May we be glad in this truth. So to all of you who are listening, I hope that you have taken comfort in this psalm. I hope that God uses it to encourage you and spur you on. But as I have said in the big idea, worship Yahweh. Worship Yahweh. Let's pray to Him now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this privilege that we have had to look at your word, to have it in our own language, to be able to think about it, to be able to hear it taught and rightly divided. And God, I pray that you would use what has been done here to encourage and edify your people, to the effect that they would sing to you, that they would declare your salvation, that they would recognize your attributes and your worth, and that they would proclaim, your reign. God, we rest in the perfect righteousness of your Son, who is our hope in life and in death. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. May God bless you richly through what has been taught and said here.